up, guys? Welcome back to Bush League. Today we've got our Stephen Curry episode. Yes, episode number 30. Today we'll be going over all things national championship, going over all the big storylines for LSU Clemson tonight. Should be a good game. Let's rock and roll.
Welcome, Bush League family, to episode 30 with, named after one of my favorite players in the NBA, the Stephen Curry episode. I'm sorry. Matt couldn't make it today, so we have good friend of the show, Brandon Venti, joining us.
Hello.
Yeah, we're just talking all things national championship today. We'll miss Matt a little bit, but we're excited to have Venti in here for the first time.
Thank you for having me.
You haven't been in here one time?
I came on the episode with Pierce for the fantasy football. It was early, like first 10 episodes.
That was a good episode.
I was kind of just chilling in the back. Pierce was the guest. I just came. I was bored.
I got you.
Taking on a bigger role today.
First time guest appearance. Okay.
So we, just to give you guys like a gauge of the setup, we actually moved our, temporarily moved like our mics and stuff downstairs to the basement. Jake, you want to elaborate?
Yeah, we just moved from the office, the usual studio upstairs down to the basement so we can watch a little divisional football.
Yeah, so the Packers-Seahawks game is actually going on right now as we speak. So if you hear any yelling, screaming, excitement, it's probably because of something we see on the television. But
could be.
While we're watching the game, we're going to get to it with a college football preview of tomorrow night's championship game.
Yeah, obviously it's been a big week for football here with the four divisional games over the weekend. You'll hear the recap of that probably tomorrow or the next day. But tonight we've got – or tomorrow when you're listening, it'll be tonight. We've got LSU Clemson.
Oh, that was trippy. You're confusing me a little bit.
Down in New Orleans.
Speaking of New Orleans, okay. I've got a few questions to really get us going in this topic, okay? Spark the discussion.
Here we go.
Jake Venti, answer boldly, answer strongly. Home field advantage. This game is being played in New Orleans. If you saw the LSU hype video, you'd see that they said 60 minutes away for a 60-minute game.
Incredible hype video, by the way. Best I've ever seen.
Yeah, they have the best media team.
Media team deserves an incredible raise, at least a 100% raise.
And just like another one of their, I guess, highlights of the year was the video of Joe Burrow walking out in the jersey. Like the high definition of it was insane.
The Burrocks video.
Yeah, sure. If you want to,
one could call it that.
I mean, there's really no way to say that.
The Cajun Burrow jersey.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when the camera, I'm assuming it was one of those, like, moving, like, cameras, you know?
So stable, it had to have been.
Yeah, and it was just following him perfectly, and I just felt like I was trailing him right there, and I just felt the energy of the real Death Valley.
VR action.
It also, like, panned out to the big sign of Welcome to Death Valley, which was electric. Oh. And the fans were losing it.
Oh, it was crazy.
Like, great video.
And their media team, like, that's kind of what put me on to, like, wow, like, this is better than every other media team. But they keep coming the heat. Like, all the preview videos are so nice before the games. And this national championship one was really good, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone can watch it and say it wasn't. It didn't get too hyped up for the game.
I feel like their colors are also very aesthetically pleasing. I don't know why I'm drawn to it, but the yellow and purple, it's great.
The white jerseys with the rest of the yellow, lighting.
They're good
up.
Accents.
Yeah, it's like... Like, if you see the yellow helmet with the yellow pants and the white jersey just, like, hit a bone-crushing hit, like, it just gets me excited. I'm ready for some football tomorrow night.
Go Tiger.
It's going to be a good game.
And we'll get into, like, some predictions and what we think later. But do you think it being in New Orleans, like, how much of an advantage does that really provide to LSU?
No, it definitely will provide advantage just because, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Media Day, said it. They all admit it's basically a road game for them is what they're saying. Uh-huh. Now, the biggest difference is Clemson will still get tickets to sell. Like, each school gets tickets that they're provided with.
Right.
But it'll be, like, the second market will be all LSU fans just because it's closer. And LSU's had more – or Clemson's had more success recently. So people that have gone to the national championship the past few years may not go back just because they can't spend the money again.
Uh-huh.
So I think LSU will definitely have a bigger crowd. I don't know when the last time they were in the national championship was, but
– 2011 maybe?
I think so, and they won it that year.
I think it was sometime early in the last decade.
Okay. It's been a minute since
it's been a while.
I know, which is weird, but I guess
they always it's been the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
They've always had a solid team, but like guys like Zach Mettenberger, like it's not going to get it
Danny
done.
Etling.
I know,
and that's the thing, especially as the season really got going. But I think we even talked about it early college football season. It's like this LSU team could be it, just because they have the same secondary, the same defense. Ooh, almost. All right, that was a Packers game. Same secondary, same defense, all the same stuff going for them, but they finally have a quarterback. And that's – it's weird to see LSU with a good quarterback, but that's how they're getting to the Natty.
It just feels different because in the past, like, they've had Fournette and – I don't know who else I was going to go with. I mean, but
they've had really good runners.
They had Fournette's brother. That's what I was thinking. They had both Fournettes. They literally just pound the ball because their passing game hasn't really been that established. Mm-hmm. And now they have a Heisman winning quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, this year's been the opposite. Joe Burrow just shreds defenses. Yeah. And then,
well, he can run himself too.
Yeah. Well, he's like the Aaron Rodgers where he's not necessarily super athletic running the ball. Like, he's not like Lamar at all. But he just – because you have to respect his passing so much – he's able to run so much. Uh-huh.
Did you see one thing I wanted to bring up? I saw it on Twitter. It was Joe Burrow with a reporter, and she was pulling up like this old picture of him. You saw this, Brandon?
Just yeah.
Joe is the epitome Joe cool. of cool.
Yeah, it was like Joe
the nickname's
cool.
taken, but he deserves it.
And then she was like, what would you – or what does this kid look like to you or whatever? And he was like, looks like a national champion. So boss move already from Joey Burrow.
Another thing he said is – I think when it was when he was on Part of My Take, they're like – if you were like 10 years ago, we would have told you you're at LSU, just won the Heisman, about to win the national championship. What would you think? And he's like, sounds about right.
Epic confidence. Just, Russ level confidence.
Yeah. The man never doubts himself.
No.
You got to love it.
Russ
you
level confidence
it.
Without the Russ.
But we talked about that on another
mess.
Episode.
Yeah.
It's almost like you have people that are cocky who you hate, but it's almost like Joe's so like cool and slick about it. Like you don't. You respect
but
it a little
bit. The difference between those is I feel like the cocky come out and say it about themselves. He's responding to a question aimed at him with the
letting
cool
him
answer.
Know how good he is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like he's coming out in the media himself to say it. That's it's true. Just in response.
Yeah. Everyone's anointing him, and he's just like, yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's deserved, but I wasn't going to say it.
No, it's awesome, though. So home field advantage, I would agree. LSU definitely – it's going to feel like a home game. It's in the bayou a little bit. Like
I had something about that, though. I feel like you can flip it the other way because Clemson always tries to find an underdog role, and with it being all LSU fans, they will love that. They will love every second of quieting the crowd.
Another thing I was just about, I hate that Dabo tries to play the underdog role.
I'm also not a Dabo fan.
Like, I love Dabo, dude.
It's just the fact that Dabo, when you listen to him talk, like, I'm all for players in an interview saying, like, thanks to God for putting me in the situation, like, with his blessing, I would be here. But Dabo acts like God's a Clemson fan, if you really listen to it. Like, it sounds crazy, but, like, last game he literally goes, like, man, we were just in God's favor today, which is why we won. Like, he sounds like he's a God, like, God's a Clemson fan. At the end of the day, God's not wearing purple and orange. So I just had to throw that
out
there.
We don't know this.
Sources cannot confirm.
Adam Schefter.
Undisputed evidence on this one. But, I mean, I think Dabo's obviously a great coach. He's completely turned that program around. I think this coaching battle is actually pretty interesting to me, too. I mean, the two sides. You've got one guy who's way more, like, professional vibes than the other and is kind of more established. But you've got Eddie O over here, just go Tigers. Like, completely embodies the state of Louisiana.
Well, I was just about to say that in media day, whatever, 2 days ago, yesterday. Uh-huh. Dabo said, like, he's like, Coach O is a perfect fit for LSU. Like, I don't know if there's anywhere else that Coach O would, like, thrive like he is at LSU.
Like, he was at Ole Miss, and he did not thrive there.
Yeah.
That was ugly.
Special shout out to In the Blind Side when he makes that, like, little cameo, you know, recruiting the kid. Mm-hmm. Super cool. Okay. But I feel like it's just LSU's the team of destiny here.
Yeah.
If you have to pick a team of it's, like, they are the team that's meant to win it. I mean, Ed Orgeron has an opportunity to win a national championship in New Orleans. Like, that's peak Louisiana.
But are they too good?
Right.
Because they seem way too good. 2007 Patriots against the Giants, 18-0. They seemed like it was a given. And, I mean, everyone's letting Clemson fly under the radar.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing is, everyone's just thinking LSU is going to actually throttle Clemson. At the end of the day, I think it's going to be
a national championship game, and no one... Throttling someone in a national championship is so hard. Like, to really blow someone out.
I mean, Clemson did against Alabama last year. Just throw
but,
it out there.
Which is why I think it'll be close. But Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent.
He is. And, like, at the end of the day, both teams are undefeated. Mm-hmm. You can say, I mean, I'm fully agreeing that Clemson's team Clemson's schedule is not good, but at the end of the day, they're undefeated. They've won their games.
Yeah. Well, so, in that Ohio State game, like we talked about the other day, I don't even think this is on the record, really. We were just talking.
Uh-huh.
Like, Clemson, no one knew what to expect from Clemson going into that Ohio State game. It's
just because, I mean, they could very well be way better than LSU. They could also be a very just good but average team, where I think LSU is a great team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Clemson proved that in the Ohio State game that they're definitely up there with the good teams, because now they didn't necessarily, I don't think they necessarily played their best game, and the refs were definitely
iffy.
Helped them out a little bit, but they were still right in the game no matter what. So you have to, I mean, they're good.
Yeah.
They haven't had comparable matchups over the year to like fully put them against each other.
And so that's why it is a little bit of a blind guess or whatever. But so there are certain, these like kind of games we have to play to figure out what do we think is really going to happen. So one of them has obviously been the LSU defense and how strong, but some people think it could be a little suspect potentially against a good Clemson team. So do you think Travis Etienne will find success against like the LSU front?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Travis is, like we just talked about their schedule, how it's hard to find matchups to like see how good they are. Travis doesn't get a lot of carries, one, because they blow teams out, and two, because they throw the ball a lot. So it's tough to say. I think he'll be fine, because I do think Trevor Lawrence opens it up a little bit for him. But I think it's tough to tell, just because they also haven't played anyone. They haven't played a solid defense besides Ohio State. Now, he had a good game against Ohio State. So
I think Etienne establishes himself early, but then they start to veer away from it, because then I'm guessing they'll be down later, and then they'll have to be moving faster in the pass game, but their pass game will work better because of how well he established himself early.
Yeah, I think a huge factor to this game, Etienne has to play well for Clemson to win.
Because then he gets him into the play action game.
Yeah, because if it's the type of thing where they try to give it to Etienne early, establish it while it's a close game, and they can't get it moving, like, I could definitely see Trevor potentially getting out of rhythm if he has to force a ton of throws. So I think Etienne finding success early is going to be so key. I don't know if he can do it, though. No. Like, yeah. That's what I don't know.
I mean, they definitely have to establish a run early, because you saw early in the season Trevor was pressing a little bit. So I think you have to just ease him into the game a little bit by running the ball. That'll come naturally. But I do think one thing to point out was, if you watched kind of the media day, just highlights and stuff, just them talking, both these teams feel very comfortable with being here. Like, usually you see a team that's maybe a little bit nervous. Some players are – the bright lights get to them a little bit. But both of these players – or both these teams seem just very right at home in this game.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I don't know. I just feel like – I feel like it's going to be fine. Perfect scenario, I'm hoping for just a shootout, Trevor and Joe going at it. Like, we saw Rams-Chiefs last year, that Monday night game, which is like 51-48.
That'd be awesome.
Right after another. That's what I'm hoping for, but we'll see.
Joe Burrow, 2-minute drill, down by 4. Okay. Perfect scenario.
Yeah, just
he takes them to win a title in New Orleans. The parties will be incredible.
Yeah, the Mardi Gras type beat coming up for the city.
Insane.
If they pull this off.
Bigger than Mardi Gras. Uh-huh.
and especially,
if that exists.
And then you top it off, too, with Burrow like getting drafted by his hometown, Cincinnati. But speaking to your like to the comfort level of the teams, I think both teams have good reason to be comfortable.
Yeah,
if you're LSU, you just sit on the fact like, hey, we think we're the best team in the country, well, and we don't think Clemson's close.
They both haven't lost.
You showed up to the SEC championship. You showed up to the first playoff game and won both of the games with ease. So you've got to be confident. Clemson's coming off.
Clemson's defending champions.
They haven't lost since the Alabama semifinal game 2 playoffs ago.
Yeah,
like, that's insane.
They don't have a reason to.
Trevor Lawrence hasn't lost since his high school.
I was just about to say that. So Trevor, he's 82. Since
82
his
and
freshman
2.
Year in high school, he's 82, 82
and 2.
2.
Yeah,
he hasn't lost a college game he started, and they talked about that.
He lost his freshman year in the playoffs in football,
senior year too,
in his senior year in the playoffs to BT.
And they talked about that at me today. Some reporter basically said, "Like, what's it like to never lose?" And Trevor responded by saying,
"It's what it's like to play in the ACC."
He said he lost a spring game this year. So when the spring game is the like last game that you remember losing, it's usually a good sign.
I mean, I just like the competitor in him to like be like, oh, I know that senior loss in high school hurt me. Like, I'm surprised he didn't say, oh, that ping pong game I lost a week ago is itching at me. Yeah. Like, that's a winning mentality right there.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he's a winner, so.
Yeah, a bona fide winner.
He knows what it takes. That's for sure.
Both teams know what it takes. Yeah. That's the thing. I think it's going to be a really great game.
But I also, Dabo knows what it takes to win. I don't know if Ed Orgeron is that great of a coach, actually.
I don't either.
He's not very established. He made the great choice in getting Joe Burrow. Uh-huh. But what has he really done? He just has playmakers.
Well, and people love the offensive coordinator, too. They love Joe Brady.
He's really kind of just a character who recruited well.
Just the image of him coming in when they talked about one of his like pep rally meetings he has before the games where he came in shot.
He like rips his shirt off.
And walks out. Like, it's just what I imagine him walking around like.
Uh-huh.
And they said that when he was at Ole Miss, he would walk around like the football offices. He would have like one of the drum like from the band. Like, they have like the drum that goes over your shoulders in front of you. And he would walk around like 7 a.m. just banging it, walking through the halls.
I mean, there are definitely, you see it more in football just because there's so many coaches in so many positions, like where the head guy is kind of just like a, almost like a figurehead.
He's
he's like the CEO or whatever. And so it's just, he's calling the shots, but like not doing the actual coaching. So that, I agree with you though, that Ed O really isn't that established in terms of like a proven winner.
I don't want to say that he's not good because that would be shorting him. I mean, he's taken his team to an undefeated season. It's just that I don't know if he's good.
And we'll find out.
The game. He's going up against one of the best coaches of the past decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talk about you being a figurehead. I mean, if you really just – I think at the end of the day, he's kind of just a motivational guy. Like, he just gets players hyped up, and they all respect him, and they want to play for him. And then you let the OCs and defensive coordinators do the work.
Uh-huh.
It's not a bad strategy.
No.
He's not doing
anything wrong.
No. Yeah.
That's not what – LSU was doing absolutely nothing wrong. They're I'm not saying that at all.
I would go as far to say they're doing everything right. Yeah, like not just like, oh, you guys aren't messing up. No, they're thriving. This is a machine we've got going on.
It's just the point I was making is if it comes down to that one call that needs to be made, I trust Dabo making it more than Ed.
I agree. Clemson is winning the coaching battle. If we had to pick one, they're ahead.
Yes,
I think it's fair.
Venables too is DC.
Uh-huh.
They've got a staff.
LSU though, I'm assuming we're gonna take LSU winning the quarterback battle.
Yes, but not by a huge margin.
It's closer than it's been all year.
Second half of the year, Trevor Lawrence is back to what he was the previous year. First half of the year, he wasn't very good.
We were having big sophomore slump vibes early.
Yeah, I made a little fun of him during that time, but he has responded. He's very good.
Yeah, he is. Running back battle, that's Clemson. Etienne's better.
Etienne takes it. Now, the wide receivers is one of the closest ones.
Uh-huh.
Between LSU's got Thaddeus Moss,
Jamar
Chase.
Thaddeus Moss has a mouth, too. He's always talking.
Yeah, he's the worst of the three.
And then Clemson's got Higgins, Ross.
I think LSU wins it, but it's close.
It's very close.
Just because Jamar Chase is going to go, like, top five, probably.
Uh-huh. LSU wins another close one. The defense.
I think Clemson wins.
Clemson
the defense.
I think they have better playmakers on the defense, and Venables, I think, is a better DC.
Now thinking about it,
if you
really
actually line
it
up,
they are very – it's a very even matchup.
It is.
I mean
– I know.
It's a national championship.
I know.
But just the vibe that it's
– You just hear so much talk
about –
before
the game has been LSU just by 100.
It's like, not LSU by 100.
It's because they haven't been in close games, and I think the hometown thing comes into play also.
Because Vegas knows.
Yeah.
That's what you got to remember. You might not know why Vegas makes the lines that they do, but they know.
They're scary good at it.
Scary good. Every time you see a team is like a 10-point favorite, that game is ending as the team winning by 12 or the team winning by 8. Like, it just, they're very, very good.
Don't get addicted to gambling, kids.
No. So, but that's exactly what we're going to do right now.
Let's do it.
So, LSU.
For all you gamblers.
LSU, in most books that I've seen, is a 5.5 favorite.
Okay.
Who you taking? Jake, you're up.
Just because I'm still taking LSU straight up, I'm going to take LSU with the spread there, too.
Okay.
Now, it could very easily be Clemson by 6, too. Uh-huh. But I think I'm going to take LSU straight up and with the spread, obviously.
Okay.
I'm taking LSU to win the game, but not the spread. LSU by 3.
Okay. See, so here I could try to play it cool and, like, make our graphic look cool when we post it so we get one Clemson. But just I'm not going to be the one to do that.
Well,
cool.
Mac is still sticking by his Clemson pick. I know.
Clemson straight up or Clemson with the spread?
Straight up.
Because I would take Clemson with the spread.
Okay,
Yes, you did take Clemson with
yeah,
the spread.
Yeah, I take Clemson with the spread.
I'm taking LSU by like 7-10.
Yeah, and that's...
But it's going to be a garbage time touchdown that changes.
Well, it's going to be a stickler. It's going to be a close game. LSU's never really going to be away with it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm still going to take LSU with the spread here. But I think it'll be 7. Like, I'm going to go LSU by a touchdown. Over under 69.5. Nice, I know. But do you think it hits? You taking the over in this natty?
I got to think about like what both teams would have to score.
I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you're assuming that both teams are putting up 30+.
That is a ridiculously high.
Yeah.
Over under.
Like, if you told me 61, I think it, even 65.
That's,
I think it's
still high. What were the scores of the semifinal games?
I mean, LSU put up.
Well,
That game's not really. Okay,
skewed.
The semifinal game, because the other one was just a cupcake game. Yeah. It was just sad to watch.
But I mean, at the end of the day,
I wonder if LSU winning that first game so big, like, skewed the
over-under.
It
definitely had to.
Yeah.
Because, well, the amount of points scored in the LSU-Oklahoma game was 91, so whatever the over-under was there, it's the over-hit. But there were 52 scored, Clemson-Ohio State.
And so,
and that was a pretty high scoring game.
Yeah, and they met in the middle, and so the over under 70 now.
Okay, now 35.
No,
You got to take the under.
Yeah. Under. Under is a very safe bet there.
Now, I hope it's the over, because I hope it's like
the over would be,
because I don't have a dog in the fight. I just
it's
want
a
football.
42-38 game, which
that'd be incredible.
But that's like that's what it has to be to hit the over.
I know.
Now,
which is stupid.
Well, 42-38 would be significantly over.
You're telling me a 31-28 game doesn't hit the over?
A 35-31 game that LSU wins doesn't hit.
Misses it by 4?
Yeah, I've really...
A 38-31 game doesn't hit.
I don't know if I've ever seen an over-under that high.
Well, I mean, you've definitely seen one, but it's at a game of this level, you've never seen one that high.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. And... I get that both offenses are very good, but that's discrediting the defenses.
Over unders.
All right, I'll look right now. That is, it's a little disrespectful to the...
I mean,
now you
the
also
Clemson
look at,
defense and the LSU defense are both very good.
This is actually kind of confusing me, so I'm going to go find multiple sites and like make sure we get... I mean, a lot of people that I'm seeing all have the scores... Like, in their predictions or whatever, they all have it as shootouts, like, in the 30s. Like, they all have it kind of straddling the, like, near that 70 mark.
To me, it's just LSU's been just shredding defenses so easily that I think people think they're going to keep doing it. But I think Trevor is going to – the difference here is Clemson's going to be the first team that's going to be able to keep up with them as they shoot.
The over-under for the game is at 69. So, it is. That is it. And I would love for the over to hit, but I still feel like the smart money's on the under.
Yeah, I mean, if you're putting money on it, you're taking the under, but...
But as a fan sitting at home, that over sounds nice.
Yeah.
What do you think the over-under is? Or not, I'll tell you what it is. What do you think will happen? Joe Burrow, over-under 350 passing yards.
Under.
I think it's the same situation. You hope for the over, but it's...
Yeah, I
under.
Think it's under because they'll run Edwards-Helaire a lot.
He's averaging 375 on the year.
But is Clemson your average team?
No.
No.
I think he's
the national
right
championship.
I think he's
is
there
the
at like 310, though.
Your average is the national championship your average game, though?
No,
I would actually throw in. I would take, well, I meant like the stage. I'm going to take Joey Burrow on the big stage.
It's definitely accomplishable for
going
him.
Going for 380. He's going to get it.
I think he'll be over 300, but I don't. 350's pushing it.
I would love to see Joe Burrow just slice him up and
that'd
go
be
for
sick.
400. I mean, his semifinal performance was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it was like...
Absolutely incredible. I know you can discredit the Oklahoma defense as much as you want, but that was a show.
Like, they were still a playoff team, and it's not like they were like... It was one of the teams you didn't think. They were pretty much a consensus playoff team after everything played out.
Yeah. And when a bunch of experts about the sport get together and decide that that's the fourth best team in the nation, and you beat them that handily, I think you're pretty good at the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also a chance with the over that LSU puts up 49 and Clemson puts up 20. Like, it could also be very well be that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that... Yeah, because that over-under isn't really accounting for... We're just keeping it in line with our picks on the spread, you know? I guess.
I think either team could blow them out, though. I could see Clemson blowing them out.
Yeah. I mean, what was the score last year? It was 44-21-ish. Does that sound right?
44-28, I believe.
And that would hit?
That would have hit.
Yeah.
I guess it's a more reasonable line than I thought.
Yeah.
But, oh, I thought that was a pick.
I think even if you moved it down to like 64-65 and make, you'd get more even splits. Now, it'll be interesting to see if.
The Clemson-Ohio State game was 62.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if as you get to towards tomorrow and they start moving the line or if it goes down a little bit.
Yeah. Last question before we wrap this one up. This was a pressing question. We put out an Instagram poll on it. Mm-hmm. Unrelated to the game, which is the real Death Valley? There are arguments for both. I think it's LSU.
Are we all agreeing LSU?
I think we're in agreement here that all of us think it's LSU.
Okay, good.
Now, does someone understand the argument for Clemson side?
I understand it, but I don't think I do as well as Suddy does.
Okay, so the history behind Clemson's Death Valley is it has to do with the rock. So the Howard's rock that they got is from Death Valley in California.
That's the one that they all touch when they come down the hill, right?
Yeah. Okay. So they literally went and got this rock from a place not near Clemson, not associated with Clemson. It was just like some like player or coach or something.
Just brought a rock.
Like he just brought a rock from Death Valley. And he was like, hey guys, this is awesome. Look at this rock. Let's all touch it. Like very weird. No reason behind it. Like, but it was from Death Valley. LSU stems from originally the stadium being so loud that they called it Death Valley and opponents came to die there. So then it slowly morphed into death. I think that's a much better reason
and
than the rock.
It did morph from death to death after they beat Clemson, did it not?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sick.
I know. Which, so they beat.
So they've earned that.
They earned it and they're also better at it. So I think it has to be LSU is the real Death Valley, regardless of what happens tomorrow night.
This is how they got it. The rock was brought to football coach Frank Howard in the early 1960s as a guest from a friend who found the rock while driving through Death Valley in Arizona.
Yeah.
Also, it used to be a lot bigger, but in 2013 it was vandalized.
Somebody took like a chunk out of it.
Basically just hacked a chunk out of it.
Smart guy. Using that logic, my mom could go to Disney World, bring me a head of Mickey Mouse. I could put it in my room, and I could call my house Disney World.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they've done there.
Yeah. And then you would have an argument with...
with the actual Disney World.
Or not with the actual Disney World. Or kind of.
Pretty
like a,
much.
Like a satellite campus of Disney World.
Yeah.
Where it's like, look, we're Disney World. Look at all this Disney stuff.
We but I have Disney World. I don't think it makes sense.
Yeah. Clemson... regardless of this national championship, you are the fake Death Valley. You are not the real Death Valley.
Well, it's just, I hope it's going to turn to the point where if Clemson wins, people are going to start calling. Like, people, Clemson fans are going to be able to rally behind the fact that they won and that they should get Death Valley back. So, like, let's just hope LSU wins it. So, like, they just have all.
Yeah.
Let's hope the good guy wins.
Yeah.
So, we're all pulling for the Tigers.
Go Tiger.
So, are we all pulling for LSU and picking them?
I'm pulling for the Tigers.
He's made a joke because both teams are the Tigers.
Interesting.
I'm pulling for the Tigers from Death Valley. The real Death Valley.
Okay.
Go Tigers.
I'm pulling for the purple and yellow Tigers.
Oh, you got me. Oh,
hung up a little bit there on the purple.
Yeah,
but then I had to tell you the yellow.
You could legitimately say, I'm pulling for the purple Tigers from Death Valley and not specify a team. And that's crazy.
You know, one thing I showed, I don't know who I showed off the air, but at one point, Clemson's woman, their softball locker room, completely unrelated to football, but
okay,
their softball locker room has a mural of a tiger in it, and it's Mike Tiger. Like, it's when they compare, when you compare, like, you know how tigers have distinct markings?
Yeah.
Like, when you compare the photo of Mike the Tiger from LSU in the mural on the wall, they straight up just painted a picture.
Confirmed LSU is the real Death Valley. Yeah.
Well, Clemson's just a wannabe.
Yeah, they are. And also, shout out to Clemson. I hate saying this. They ended the stupid streak. North Carolina's 59 win streak or whatever.
Shout out our guy, John.
Yeah, if it had to be broken, I wish it would have got to 60, but I am glad that we got to interview one player off of the winning team, John Newman. I mean, that was awesome, John. We're really proud of you. It hurt, but North Carolina does suck.
Yeah, I mean.
But the Bush League fam is everywhere, ending 94-year-old streaks out here. So we see you, John. Good work.
I mean, our former interviewees have really just pounded North Carolina this year. Between Jose giving them 25 and John breaking the streak.
I know. And when we gear up for this interview also in the state of South Carolina soon, you guys are going to like that one.
Just know big things are coming. We're going a little bit bigger.
We are we're stirring the pot and leveling up, and you are going to be excited for this next one. It's going to be a whole brand new stage that we haven't reached yet.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be our best interview yet.
It's going to be awesome. So stay tuned. Brandon, thank you for joining us. Bush
League out. Thank you for having me.
Peace.